Hello, and welcome to the third annual West Texas A&M University Trumpet All-State Etude Podcast for the academic year of 2010-2011. I'm Bill Takas, Trumpet Professor at West Texas A&M University. This podcast will include the etudes for both the large schools and the ATSSB etudes as well. In this podcast, I will be talking a little bit about each etude, which will cover practice strategies and some particular items to watch out for. And then you will get to hear each section of each etude at different tempos, followed by a run-through at performance tempo. I strongly suggest that you take your time in learning these etudes, and you may even need to start at a slower tempo than the slowest one I recorded. When we jump into trying to absorb too much material at too quick of a pace, we tend to overlook certain things and then learn them incorrectly, which causes us then to have to double back and relearn the material. Some basic rules of thumb. Use your metronome frequently. Pay attention to details such as proper articulation and dynamics, and always play with the best sound you possibly can. I give this same exact advice every year because it will make you a better player. If you have any questions about any portion of this podcast, please feel free to contact me by email at wtakas@mail.wtamu.edu. That's wtakas@mail.wtamu.edu. I'm going to begin with the large school etudes. If you are interested in the small school etudes, you will have to fast forward to that section of the podcast. This year, the large school etudes were selected from the Wilhelm Wurm 40 Studies. The numbers selected were numbers 3, 9, and 27. I'll start numerically with number 3. You are to play all of this etude and attempt to get your tempo in the range of 120 to 138 beats per minute. Let's talk about the first section, which is from measure 1 to measure 16. This section is pretty straightforward with a few technical challenges. Make sure you don't clip the eighth notes at the ends of the two bar statements. Try to keep them consistent with sufficient length. There are, of course, many large intervals to slur in this passage. Try isolating the ones which give you trouble and drill them slowly before trying to put them in context at a faster tempo. Watch for the wrong note in measure 15. The B directly on beat 3 should be a B natural. Round the phrase out with a retard on the quarters in measure 16 and a slight break before moving on a tempo. Let's listen to this section at a few different tempos. First, we will start with quarter note equals 72. Let's listen to it at quarter note equals 90. And now let's listen to it at quarter note equals 112. Let's move on to the second section from measure 17 to 25. Note the articulation changes compared to how section 1 begins. It's the same melody for a while, but with different articulation. Make sure that you play it as written. Measure 22 through 25 poses a challenge with a string of larger interval slurs. Practice slowly at first and gradually build your speed. Don't forget to raise the tongue position in your mouth as you slur up, like saying the syllables ta and e. Here's measure 17 through 25 at quarter note equals 72. Here it is at quarter note equals 90. And here is this section at quarter note equals 112. Section 3 is from pickup to measure 26 to measure 33. There's nothing too complicated here, but try your best to make a noticeable dynamic shift as you get to measure 31, where you are supposed to decrescendo through the descending diminished seventh arpeggio sequence. Another retard finishes this phrase with a short caesura, which leads into the final section. Let's listen to section 3 at quarter note equals 72. Here it is at quarter note equals 90. And here it is at quarter note equals 112. The final section is from measure 34 to the end. Note that the articulations match the ones found in the second section, where you slur through the triplets. The only other thing to mention here is the final trill. Make a smooth trill from E to F, and resolve by tonguing the first grace note, which is a D, and also tonguing the final quarter note F. This is doing exactly what is printed in the music. Slurring through the grace notes may be easier, but it wouldn't technically be correct. I prefer to stop the trill on beat 4 to prepare for the resolution. You don't have to do this, and you may prefer to slur through beat 4. It's a personal choice, and choose which way you like better. Here is the final section at quarter note equals 72. Here is the final section at quarter note equals 90. And here is the final section at quarter note equals 112. Now we're going to listen to the entire etude at quarter note equals 138. This is a rather quick pace, and remember that you are allowed to perform this at quarter note equals 120. Breathing can be an issue when playing it through in its entirety, but with practice it will become easier. Be as musical as you can, with a playful quality. Practice performing, meaning practice going through without stopping. Mistakes may happen, but recover quickly, without having to come to a complete stop. Here's the entire etude without breaks at quarter note equals 138. Let's go to etude number 9. The good news is it's only 5 short lines. However, I think this is the hardest of the bunch, as slow lyrical playing is the most difficult of all. Always strive for a singing, sweet line when playing this etude. A few things to watch out for. In measure 4, make sure you carry the G sharp over to the last note of the measure. Don't clip notes in order to breathe. Practice taking in as much air as quickly as possible without sacrificing phrasing. A great example of this is your first written breath in the middle of measure 2. Don't cut off that low E too soon before breathing and jumping up to the higher E. It just won't sound good if you do that. The octave A slurs which occur in the last measure of the first line and the first measure of the last line can pose problems. Like with other troublesome technical issues, isolate it and drill it slowly. Don't be afraid to increase your airflow and get a bit louder as you slur up to the octave. Be very precise with rhythms. Differentiate between the 16th notes, triplets, and 32nd notes accurately. According to the errata list on the TMEA website, in measure 10, the trill, grace note, and the 2 eighth notes which follow are all to be slurred together. Measure 14 is the most rhythmically complex of the piece. Be absolutely precise with the placement of each note and be accurate with the articulations. Consult a teacher if you need help. There is another change to be made to the music in measure 16, according to the TMEA website. You are to slur from the F-sharp trill through the grace notes into the G in the next measure. One last thing, also be precise with the articulation in measure 21. I predict that there will be players who don't play it accurately. I didn't record this piece in multiple sections at multiple tempos because it is already so slow. So, let's listen to the entire piece at eighth note equals 76. final etude is number 27. Let's look at measures 1 through 8. In measure 3, we have quite the acrobatic act, leaping up almost 2 octaves from low G to high F, and then slurring some nimble triplets. Be accurate with the articulation. You will want to practice measure 4 over and over until it is accurate and feels comfortable. The low B at the beginning of the ascending run is the upbeat of beat 1. The low A right before it needs to be just that, played right before the upbeat, sort of as a pickup note to the B. Once you get to the B, it's smooth sailing up chromatically until you get to the F, at which point you need to tongue the remaining 2 notes of the measure. At tempo, this can be a challenge. The rest of the passage is fairly straightforward. Just watch for the articulation. Let's listen to this section at quarter note equals 60. You will hear some breaths inserted where there are slurs, simply because the tempo is slow. And here it is at quarter note equals 76. Again, please forgive the breaths. The second section is from measure 9 to measure 16. Again, be agile with the slurs in measure 11 as you were in measure 3. According to the TMEA errata list, measure 12 is to be slurred all the way through. Be careful here, as this passage mixes chromatic shifts with stepwise shifts. Take your time and learn it slowly. In measure 15, tongue the downbeats. Yes, it is easier to slur into those notes, but that is not what is written. Take the lower divisi part in measure 16. You don't necessarily have to observe the breath mark at the beginning of measure 15. I actually prefer to breathe after the A in the previous measure. Here is section 2 at quarter note equals 60. There may be some errant breaths due to the slow tempo, except for the one I prefer in measure 15. Here is section 2 at quarter note equals 76. Again, forgive errant breaths. The last section's biggest challenge is finding places to breathe. I don't like the choice of breath marks given in the music. At tempo, it is impossible to get a sufficient breath where the music indicates without breaking the tempo, which in my opinion, disrupts the flow of the piece. So you have 2 choices. Either breathe where the breath marks are indicated, or you can break a slur and insert a breath there. The latter choice keeps the music moving smoothly and is a good alternative. You will have to practice stretching your breath to make it that far where you can breathe over a slur, however. The first place you can do this is right after the third beat of measure 24. If you are playing at quarter note equals 92, you can make it with some practice. One more breath after the downbeat of measure 26 and you're home free. However, let's first listen to the last section at quarter note equals 60. Here's the last section at quarter note equals 76. Okay, we're ready to hear the entire etude at quarter note equals 92. I hope that this assists you in your audition preparation. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email me at wtakis@mail.wtamu.edu. Good luck! The next section of this podcast will cover the ATSSB etudes, the first of which is the first five lines of the Burma etude found on page 14 of the Voxman book. I will begin with a brief commentary on the piece, and then you will hear measures 1 through 12 played at quarter note equals 60. Then you will hear measures 13 through 24 played at quarter note equals 60. Then you will hear the entire required section performed at quarter note equals 80. Following this is commentary on the next selection, which is the Gaudi etude found on page 16. After that you will hear measures 1 through 16 and 16 through 32, each played at quarter note equals 84. You will then hear the same two sections played at quarter note equals 100. And finally, you will hear the complete required section at quarter note equals 120.
The E minor etude is a beautiful flowing melody that will need to be played with the most lyrical sound you can get out of your horn. Watch for the C double sharp, which happens twice in the etude. Following the contour of the line by rising and falling in dynamics will make your performance much more effective. Isolate slurs that are difficult for you, and then drill them over and over. A touch of rubato at the right places will add a sense of elegance and set you apart from those who just play the etude at the same tempo all the way through. ¶¶ B-flat major etude has a major rhythmic trap waiting for you, the 16th note versus the triplet. You absolutely need to make a very big difference between these two rhythms in this etude. Many students will play the 16th slower, thus making them practically the same length as the triplets. The judges will be listening for that, I guarantee. To make sure you don't fall into this trap, you must exaggerate the length of the 16th notes by playing them shorter. A visual or mental aid might be to actually think of the dotted eighth notes as a double dotted eighth note, thus turning the following 16th note essentially into a 32nd note. This etude is very march-like, and a common style trait of a march is to play especially crisp rhythms, especially the dotted eighth 16th note figure. Technically, we play this rhythm differently from the way it is written. It is not metronomically exact, but this is accepted, proper style. It may seem confusing, but if you are confused, ask your lesson teacher or band director to help you. Sudden, dramatic, dynamic changes will make this piece very effective as well. There are some publishing problems with the placement of the dynamics, however. I kept the dynamics very consistent in the recording, and I believe the dynamics should read that way on the page. For instance, in measure 26, the fortissimo is marked over beat 3, but I believe it should be marked over beat 4.